Part 4. Choices.
Never had I imagined that Kimoriel Oblodra could become so obviously emotional over anything. He had watched his house torn down by Matron Mother Bayenry, his entire family eliminated in but a few moments. He had watched his mother pulled back from her torment in the abyss to serve as a connection to the Illithid Hive, only to be obliterated thereafter. He spoke of it often to me, to Jarl Axel, and never, not one time, did I see anything but a calculated and intellectual approach to the personal tragedies. Even now, in our journey together to the East, when he recounted those events, they were offered only as lessons in the potential power that Lolf's chosen might bring to bear against usurpers and heretics. There was no hint of grief, no mention that he had ever cared for Kjorl and the others. But when he spoke of the coming storm, and more than that, of the history of Menzo Berenzon as revealed by the memories given to Ivanel and Matron Mother Quenthal, there I saw the desperate longing, a clear sparkle, a clear sense of both eagerness and trepidation, a combination of emotions that can be found only when the outcome matters quite a lot to the person speaking. As I ponder this seeming inconsistency in the cold-hearted psionicist, the knot of Kimoriel's heart unravels. He had been trained to resignation. He had not flinched, or barely so, when his family had been destroyed, when his house and legacy and inheritance of stature and wealth had been so brutally and abruptly stolen from him. All because it was not an unexpected event, in the cynicism that had been ingrained into Kimoriel, into so many of us in Menzo Berenzon from birth. A combination of helpless resignation and sheer numbness from the daily assaults and atrocities is a deadly mix to the emotions of any drow. But these days, a sparkle in Kimoriel's eye. Now he comes to ride with me, to speak with me, to hope with me. That is the key to his awakening. He dares to hope. I cannot hide within myself now, though I truly wish I could. My excuses against that light of hope ring hollow in my own ears. But I cannot deny the resistance to this hope within my own heart. What will be my role, I wonder? The action of the Matron Mother and Ivanel on the field was stark and shocking, I admit. And no doubt, many witnessing it felt that same surge of hope. Initially, when I think back to my days in Menzo Berenzon, what I remember most of all is the zealotry of the Lothian priestesses, of my own mother, Matron Malice. I expect that, had this great event and great heresy occurred back in those times, I would have seen the sparkle in the eyes of Zachnefane, surely, and likely in those of my sister Virna, perhaps even in the eyes of Maya. Those embers of hope would have been quickly extinguished by Malice, I am sure. And even if not, even if Malice had heard the hopes and promises of her children and consort, the idea that she would have turned from Lolth would derive only from her belief that whichever side she chose would most favorably affect her. Malice loved the fight, and this time she would side with Matron Mother Quenthal only if she thought Quenthal would win, and that she, Malice, would then be given ample reward. But even that would have happened only if Malice had come to believe that Lolth was pleased with the chaos and the carnage, that the Spider Queen in the end would reward the victors and forget the vanquished. Perhaps that is the unavoidable outcome of this impending fight. How many of Matron Mother Quenthal's allies will be so only for self-serving purposes, and how many only because they are confused or afraid? Will mighty House Bayenry, leading the revolt against Lolth, even be able to hold tight its own members? Will the Driders turned drow even prove loyal soldiers to Quenthal? Or will we quickly discover that they too were no more than a force planted by the Spider Queen to test her children, to wreak chaos and root out those insufficiently devout? I cannot escape these thoughts, no matter how clearly I recognize within myself that same cynicism that allowed Kimoriel Oblodra to shrug at the loss of his family. And this is not who I have striven to be since my first days out of that cursed city. Always I choose against fear. But I cannot deny that my heart has not yet come to accept this glimmer of hope. I have too much to lose. I have Catty Bree, and we have Bree, and the joy of that is more than I could ever have imagined. They would live on, and well, I think, were I gone. Bree could not ask for a better mother than Catty Bree, and Catty Bree could not ask for better friends than the companions about us, her father and Wulfgar and Regis most important among them. She would not be alone were I to die in Menzo Berenzon, a point made all too clear to me when I returned from my journey to everythingness to find my wife and new daughter surrounded by so much love. I neither doubt nor discount the grief Catty Bree would experience were that to happen. Simply thinking that she might now be lost in the north has my gut churning with twisting fears and imagined horrors and the most profound sense of possible emptiness I have ever known. On those occasions when the fears overwhelm me, and I come to believe that perhaps she is truly lost to me, I am broken. Even while in the light of Bree's smile, I am empty. I remember that feeling so keenly. I remember that morning in Mithril Hall when I awakened to find Catty Bree lifeless beside me. I remember my horror, my helplessness, in watching her spirit fly away, just out of reach, until it was gone through the solid reality of stone. It is not a feeling I ever want to experience again, and it is not a feeling I want to inflict upon Catty Bree. Nor do I wish for Bree to grow up wondering about her father who is not there. Will she see drow men walking toward her and think them her da? Will she feel as if I chose to be away from her? That I left her because I cared about something more than I cared about her? Or will she understand that I left because I cared so much about her that I needed to try to make the world better for her? And that is the rub. At what point might this greater struggle become someone else's to pick up and fight? At what point? Is there a point? Will it be someone else's turn, when I am free to bask in the quieter and more personal responsibilities of my life? Or am I doomed to be so consumed by future hopes that I would miss out on all the present joys? The conflict is clear and jarring between my personal responsibilities and the wider mission, the purposeful road I have walked since I rejected Menzo Berenzon. Since I vowed that I would fight for that which, in my heart, is just and good. I know that the coming war in Menzo Berenzon, as terrible as it will be, is to be waged to break free of the demon Loth, that it will be fought in the hopes of the ultimate win for my people, for the shattering of crushing dogma that has hurt so many and will hurt so many more, for freedom. Yet for all that, what is my place? If Catty Bree does not return from the north, am I to leave Bree with the monks, with Brunner? In either instance, am I abandoning my greater responsibility to her, to make sure she will grow in the arms of a parent? It is the first time in my life that I have had to ask myself this question. It is the first time that I have had so much to lose. It is the first time I've really had to ask, what is my place? Drizzt D'Urden.